You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
Whoa! Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John!
And I'm Scott.
What's up, Scotty?
Not too much, John.
Big gig this weekend with the heavy metal guys.
Huge gig.
Totally bad. Fucking dude.
Totally. Dude.
No titties, though.
What do you mean? We usually get titties? What are you saying?
I heard there was going to be like wet t-shirt contest or something.
Oh, right. Didn't happen. You mentioned that. I didn't see that. Maybe that happened after we left.
Probably happened like around the other side of the garage.
Right. Right. What John is referring
to
is the
neighbor's house.
Private gig that we had on Saturday?
Yes.
Yeah, so the weather was really shitty.
Yeah.
But it stopped raining long enough for us to set up, perform, break down, and then it started raining. So we made it.
No doubt.
No doubt, John. But the other thing is, the reason they invited us or they had us play this party was in the past, when they've had parties, they play death metal and speed metal bands.
Yeah.
And the cops always show up and break up the party.
And the singers were like,
so they invited us.
Yeah.
So we get there and
I thought it was just going to be mine, so I go,
so we get there, and there's like, what, 10 guys, maybe 12 guys there.
Like, all right, there's going to be, squeal like a pig, you got a pretty mouth there, fat soul.
Yeah, so we set up, we thought we were going to get ass raped, but no, they were very nice, very nice.
Yeah, they were.
The owner of the
cool
house,
guys.
Rich, is that his name, Rich?
Yeah.
Very tall man. Very, what is he, 6'4", 6'5"?
Is he that big?
He's a lot bigger than I am.
No,
yeah.
You guys are like eye level,
no,
aren't you?
Not at all, no. I think the illusion of my long arms probably throws you off a little bit.
Well, you hunch a little with the dragon of the knuckles.
Right, right. And so then the other thing I noticed is all these guys have tats, and some of them have piercings. And it made me think, this is what it would be like if we played for the mediocre show.
Right.
You know? So I wonder how this will go. At first, we were a little anxious. We thought we'd be ass raped. So we set up.
I never thought that for a minute.
Setup went pretty well. We had a good strategy for if it did rain. We had things on wheels.
Yeah.
But then we started playing. And there were like three false starts.
Yeah.
Two blown fuses from his house and one.
No, one from his house and
one,
two from us.
And two from us.
Or something. No, maybe there. I don't know.
So that never.
Never happens.
Well, it's happened before.
Once.
But once.
Or the bar has really faulty circuitry.
Right, right. But it's never a good thing. You
no.
know what I'm saying?
It always breaks bad.
It always breaks. And it. It rattles my confidence like nothing else because I played the worst I've ever played.
No way.
That first set in a live gig. I mean, I've done worse in practice, but at a gig, that's the worst I've ever played that first set. I was forgetting songs, forgetting the entire. I would eventually, you know, figure it out, but I was figuring it out while we were playing the song.
Figuring
it out. Just awful.
That's and rock and roll, Scott.
Rick's song selection. I'm like, Clocks, are you fucking kidding me? Clocks.
We're going to get wailed on.
I mean, even in a heterosexual world, that's tilted toward the...
What do you mean, even in a heterosexual... Are you? What are you saying? That they were gay?
And that's what I'm not saying at all. I'm saying...
We'll never get invited back.
I'm saying that they are men among... boys is what I'm saying. They are man's men. So when I say, even in the heterosexual world, a metrosexual world, that song is considered on the queer end of the scale.
Yeah,
you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
And these guys are all men. And he's pulling out clocks and songs like that.
And they're playing like Slayer over their stereo system and everything, you know, as we're setting up.
Right, right. So,
it sounds like this.
Pretty much the entire first set, there was one woman there. One woman showed up. Oh, and his parents. So his mom.
That's a good sign.
But I thought, wow, what a courageous young lady to walk into. I would never be able to do. I was, as a man, I was anxious walking into that environment. You know what I'm saying, John?
And they're making fun of us. Look at the old fat fuck. Right. Look at the bald guy. I think that guy had a couple heart attacks.
Well, one guy, I go over and I say, hey, man, did you guys invite any women? Do you know any women? Oh, yeah, yeah, man. They'll be here later. Even some your age. I'm like, what, is your mom showing up?
Oh, I heard that. I was like, and then I hear.
Well, he was like, no, dude, no, no. I'm a young guy, man. I mean, I'm not
Yeah, what is your mom showing up?
No, he said, I'm not as old, or what the fuck did he say? I can't even remember. I'm an old guy. I'm not that young. I'm 22.
I'm 25.
23.
Or 22.
Whatever. Yeah, so.
I thought Rich had great friends, man.
Oh, they're
I was like,
very
these
cool.
Guys were. This is the kind of friends I wish I had.
It gets back. It's. What are you saying? You want me to get some tats? But it goes back to stereotyping. The only exposure I have to a group of people like this.
Yeah, but dude, we're old men now.
And
you
we're
know?
Old, right? So there's the gender.
It's the new youth.
The new youth.
No doubt.
So, but yeah, as I got to talk to more people they're all really fucking cool. The other thing is, we've talked about this on the last podcast. Our band is kind of picking up steam here. There's an excitement when we play. We can't leave the stage anymore. The audience just comes and they want to know where we're playing next and all this other stuff. So we finished the first set, and it was really difficult for me. But we got done with the first set.
So you start loading up on the Red Bull and vodka.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And
you're, like, shaking.
Well, even after we played the songs, I mean, it was like a cricket chirping. Chirp, 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 chirp.
You mean like a...
I mean, because there's only so much... You can only make clocks so
like
heavy.
The down! Thank you. Thank you. Good night!
And I'm thinking, are they going to even have us play a second set? I mean, this is what a goddamn train wreck. But then more of the women started to show up. And I think that was I think the more women showed up was a benefit to us.
Well, Rich did confess. When you guys started playing, I was like, oh, shit. Oh, what did I do? Oh, my God.
He was anxious.
Then
he was
looked
nervous.
Around and he saw... The chicks singing some of our tunes, you know?
Well, yeah.
It's like, oh, sweet.
Well, the first set, there really wasn't a lot of women. But then as we did the second and third, the women showed up and the guys got drunker, which was both to our benefit. The other thing is, from night to day, a complete turnaround in my ability to play. The Red Bull and vodka kicked in.
Dude,
I don't know what happened.
I've never heard your bass sound so ballsy. In all my life. I mean, the fucking... It was so heavy. It was kick-ass.
Yeah, yeah. Great stage sound. Very loud out front.
No doubt.
No doubt. You know what? The other thing that happened is I started picking the songs. I'm like, I can't... Rick's going to say, okay, let's play Torn.
Oh, I was going to call that one out. I thought that would have been a great one.
Possibly. You never know. I mean,
dude, we played fucking Paula Abdul.
Uh-huh, went over well. Paula Abdul went over well.
They were moshing to Paula Abdul.
But again, it's after the women showed up, and the women were bobbing their heads. And the women, the influence of the women and the alcohol kicked in at the same time.
Well, when the women start getting into it, the men, the peacock, you know, that whole strutting thing starts happening.
Right, right.
They start competing.
Yeah.
For territory.
Right.
They get the scent of the bush, so to speak.
So that really turned around. And then by the third set, there were songs where I had to hide behind my stack.
Oh, yeah, because everybody got up by the stage.
The 20 guys, when we played Iron Maiden,
yeah.
20 guys decided that they were going to sing backup. And they charged the stage. They were hopping over monitors, fighting for the mic.
Great, man.
I'm hiding behind the cabinet.
Yeah, I hope Rich got pictures because that was kick ass.
The lighting was—I was really struggling because I can't even see my bass.
And we had the lights too far away.
Yeah,
yeah, that was cool.
But that happened on that song. It happened on "Fight for Your Right."
Yeah,
a couple others where I had to retreat.
It was a blast.
And then after that, well, the other thing we found out is probably half of the guys there were musicians themselves.
Yeah.
So
one guy was telling me he's been on tour like for the last year.
Really?
With a band, yeah.
And I think that has something to do with the initial cold response, because when we go to open mic nights, I have this position that everybody sucks.
Yeah.
And they have to earn my respect.
Right.
Right? And we definitely didn't do that with the first set, with the song selection and my poor playing. I think as the night went on,
that
we
was
did.
Our warm up. Nobody's really there, and
right,
we're just kind of
right.
warming up, and you know, getting all the stupid songs out of the way.
But then,
so Rick can't call him up later. Oh, let's play this one,
right?
No,
and so a lot of people then were coming up and saying how they really enjoyed it and they liked the twist that we had and the sound and the. Everything like that. So
I'm walking through the garage, you know, and there's this big bar set up with this Jägermeister machine. There's like three Jäger bottles cooling off, and I hear there's all these, you know, guys with tattoos of spiders on their face, and they're all like, "Hey, look, that's the drummer right there. Give him a Jäger bomb." All right. And
nice.
I go, "What's in it?" One guy goes, "It's Jaeger." And another guy goes, "And bomb." It tastes like grape. It was good. It was actually Monster, you know, like Red Bull, but mm-hmm. the Monster shit.
Right, right. Yeah.
And Jaeger.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good.
Is it like a shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like this funky glass or cup. With the shot glass built into the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you pour the Jaeger in the middle, and then you pour the Monster Red Bull around the
nice.
Outside of it, and then
nice.
You chug the whole thing.
Have you spoken to Rich since the party?
He sent me a text message. Did mm-hmm. you have fun at the party? I said, yeah.
I had a great time. Yeah,
great.
I mean,
great.
I don't think it could have gotten any worse than the first set, so it only had to get better. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, dude. We always deliver. Have we never delivered?
No, we always do deliver. That is correct. But, it, you know, at the end of that first set, it could have gone either way. I mean,
no
I could
way.
Have come back and played worse
no
than I
no
did
way.
The first set.
I knew without a doubt we were going to deliver on the goods. As soon as it got dark... And people got juiced up, and we played a couple party starters for the ladies to get into it. And then we fired a couple of heavier tunes. And then as soon as we went into the Iron Maiden, mm-hmm. we make them wait. We always make them wait for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
They go nuts.
Run
we
to the hills.
We had guys doing front flips in front of us.
Front
at
flips
the last
again.
Gig.
Yeah, yeah.
They did, and then we played Maniac. And the one chick started, like, flailing around in the chair. She wanted something dumped on her.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we had the lurker, the one chick who wanted us to play certain songs. All right, man.
Oh, the Eva Mendez?
You better fucking play. I thought she looked like Jordan Sparks. Eva Mendez.
I don't even know who Jordan Sparks is.
From American Idol. Who's
Jordan
Eva Mendez?
American Idol. Eva Mendez, she was in Hitch. She was the woman in Hitch.
Oh, yeah, right. She did look like her, right. And I wanted to play Valerie Loves Me, but you don't like that song.
No,
and her name was Valerie.
I don't know it, so
yeah,
I can learn it. I don't.
You've played it before.
I've played it like once. 3 years ago.
Hey, that's enough in Kangaroo Court. You need to. You only need to hear it on the radio, and then you're automatically tuned in.
Right, right.
You got the song.
Well, what
down.
Happened is I turned it around second and third set, and then Rick, like Stacy's mom. I don't know what the hell happened there on Stacy's mom. So I'm, you know, hey, it's Rick. You. It's not me.
Yeah,
it's Rick.
Right, right. I know you were doing the hey man. Yeah, he fucked that up.
I love you.
But I had a great time, man, and what a unique experience. I mean, How often are we have the opportunity to hang out with that crowd? We just don't.
Right. And how about Rich's drum set? You see that?
Oh yeah.
Thing, so man, Rich is up a whole room.
Rich is also a drummer. He's what'd you call him? A speed metal drummer.
Yeah,
there's a certain style that he plays.
Yeah, he does blast beats and all that.
So he sits. You asked him to play your drums so you can check the levels and shit. So he sits down behind your drums, and he pretty much sounds like me. And I'm like, this guy's a drummer? Come on! And he's so big.
Yeah,
the kit. It was like a little kid's kit.
Right.
And he was even complaining about that.
God damn it! I can't get my fucking leg between the snare and the floor tom.
So then,
what the hell is this?
We asked to see his drum set. So he takes us in his house, and the room was what, maybe 10 by 10 or
something like that,
10 by 12, a really small room. And he's got this double bass drum set that takes up practically the whole room. And so he gets behind his own drum set, and he admitted that he hasn't played in a while.
Yeah.
But you could see the potential.
Yeah.
You could see the talent that this guy had behind this monster kit.
Yeah.
Which was pretty impressive. And then I asked him, so if you had a band in here? I mean, how many guys have you had in this room?
Five
guys, which I... if just the five of us walked in, we'd have a hard time. But these guys brought stacks of equipment, and I just can't imagine how they played.
Four or five. I can't remember. But
they must have been midgets or something, or standing out in the hall.
Or very thin. Well, why not? You know, you stand out in the hall, the singer, guitar player or something.
Mm-hmm.
I had, like, you know, the room we used to play in here with the fridge in it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really small, right? And we had five guys in there. Actually, Chuck, Preston, Mike, Jeff, myself. Yeah, five guys in there.
Yeah, okay, but now take his drum set and put it in there with the five guys.
Yeah, no way. No way, man. Yeah, he's got to scale that thing down, man. I don't know how. I could not play gigs.
Where you had to bring all that shit.
Yeah, you have to bring. Oh, geez. And he's telling me, I just leave it all set up. Like in the van, and then he carries it out all set up. I guess he had racks or something.
Well, that's the way you would have to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it would take you how long to set that shit up and break it down?
Me forever.
Because it was five times the size of your drum set.
How my shit has to be set up, too. One thing's that, oh, god damn it, I'm going to have the worst show ever. Yeah, I had like my floor tom like not high enough while we were playing, so I was having some difficulties, and I have this weird blister on my hand, which I've in a spot I've never got before.
Is that from drumming, or is that because your wife is out of town?
Good one.
No doubt.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. No, man, it was definitely cool. The great thing, though, is he's got great fucking friends, man.
Oh,
great
yeah.
friends. And that's,
they're all
that's
really cool
to see, you know?
Well, the other thing is it reminded me
And some guys, you know, got a little crazy, but they just don't get out of hand. That was cool, you know? I don't know how many parties I've played where there's a big brawl. You know,
between supposedly a group of friends, there's a big brawl?
No, it's just...
Usually somebody from the outside comes inside
and fucks up the joint.
Oh, the cops did show up.
Yeah,
too.
Two broads.
But that situation was quelled. We had already stopped playing, and we started breaking down in the dark. I got to get some infrared glasses or something so I can see
why
the bass. I realized how much I rely on my vision when playing the bass.
No, dude, we had the lights too far away. We didn't. You're not supposed to put them over there. They're supposed to be next to the speaker.
Right, right.
We're going green, you know. We use fluorescent spots, floods. Even if we had the real bright ones, they really wouldn't reach, especially if people are in front of them. Like a mob of people. You got to fight for your right. And what else we did?
What else did we do? All the heavy metal staples, you know, the classics. Some Judas Priest. We did fight for the right, but we did We're Not Going to Take It.
Yeah.
Twisted Sister, of course, you know.
Yeah. Whoa. Whoops.
Whoa.
We didn't play that. We did play Gypsies, though. Right?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
We didn't play Seasons in the Sun, did we?
We did not play Seasons in the Sun.
We did play Jenny Jenny.
We did play Jenny Jenny.
We didn't play Movie Star.
We did not play Movie Star. That
God
is correct.
God damn it.
What are you going to do? So, it was Rich's 29th birthday.
Yeah.
Are we going to be invited back for the 30th?
I don't know. But he seemed to like it. He had some nice looking baddies there, too. But I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah, somebody told us that.
Yeah, we heard. Somebody sent us a memo, emailed. Hey, there was baddies. Really? He's got a nice house, too.
Oh, that's the other thing. It reminded me of my... my pre-married days.
Oh,
what do you call those?
Right.
Your bachelor days.
Bachelor.
When
Remember
I lived
those?
In a similar house, not as clean at all. He had a very clean house.
That's when cars burned unleaded gas.
Well, you know, I take that back.
Gasoline.
We would have to visit him on a weekday when there wasn't a party, because the only time the house that I lived in would
was
be clean was when we had
a party.
Right. Brian would clean the place up. And it was actually presentable.
I think Rich keeps it pretty clean because he was telling me about his accent wall and his mafia.
Well,
picture.
He's got a huge aquarium. It's very clean. It's the cleanest aquarium I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, Bones had an aquarium. It was in a big garbage can in the bathroom, remember?
Well, no. That's like his aquarium got so filled with green shit you couldn't even see in it. So he dumped it out into a garbage can so while he'd clean the aquarium. But the fish spent 2 weeks in a garbage can because he never got around to cleaning the aquarium. And then I think he just flushed them all down the toilet.
I actually cleaned his bathtub for him with like a paint scraper.
Yeah, see,
there was like a ring that was like I've never seen before.
Around the whole room there was a ring. I mean, it was dirtier than a gas station bathroom. When Brian wasn't home, I'd sneak in his bathroom to take a shower. Otherwise, I wouldn't take a shower.
Oh, dude. You'd hose yourself down or use the hot
tub? I would go to a health club or something and jump in the pool.
Yeah, it was pretty gnarly.
It was filthy. And I was telling somebody, I didn't even know he had cats until I lived there for about 6 months.
You told Rich that. At the party where Rich knows the story about how we used to practice there. And when Rick and myself and Phil practiced there, but you weren't even living there, I don't think, anymore.
Well, that's why I took care of the dogs.
Yeah,
so when I left, nobody took care of the one dog he had.
Right, right.
So the dog started shitting all over the
basement.
So this was the place that I lived in. It was a ranch house. And, upper middle class neighborhood with three bachelors in it.
Yeah.
We had a hot tub and a beer cooler, like the industrial kind you get from a bar. And there was parties all the fucking time.
All the fucking time.
And unplanned parties. People would just come by.
Show up.
And it was a lot of fun.
The lady next door showed up one time and she was looking for somebody and bent over and she had no underwear on. She was just in a t-shirt.
Yeah, they were swingers next door.
Weird, man.
You know, the one complaint I had about swingers is, why are they so goddamn ugly? Can't there be good-looking swingers? Why is it always the ugly ones?
I remember one time I pull up and I'm waiting for Rick, and there's Peterson outside shooting potatoes with a fucking potato gun in the front yard in this upper middle class neighborhood.
It was either potatoes, it was fireworks. I mean, Peterson was always causing problems for me.
Mental.
I'm trying to sleep and he's out there doing something. Like, what the what is with this moron?
Guy was crazy, man.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times we show, and Bones had given us, like, we needed a place to practice, and you could practice at my house, okay. And I tried giving him money, and he never would take it. Never, never, never. And he'd let us practice there Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. And every Sunday, we'd get there at noon, and there'd be fucking bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
Just everywhere. We'd be walking over people, and we'd just start jamming. And he'd go, "It's great, man. It's like an alarm clock."
Yeah, it was. I only lived there, I think, a little over a year. It's some of the fondest memories.
That
I have,
no doubt.
No, I mean, it was just really fucking awesome.
So being at Rich's house kind of brought back some of those memories.
Oh, it brought back a lot of those memories. Except Rich's house is 100 times more cleaner.
Yeah, his Playboy bathroom. Do you see that?
Yeah, yeah, but Brian, he would in within 24 hours, he would make that place from a garbage dump into something presentable.
I did too, man. I had Joe's bachelor party there, and Bone says, "Man, I'm gonna have more parties. You guys fucking shine this place up." I told you I cleaned his bathroom because I didn't know where they were gonna go. I forgot Brian had that little bathroom off his bedroom there. So I had to clean that bathroom up thinking people were going to go in there, especially the stripper.
Right, right. Well, you know, if the dirtiness got to a level that I couldn't tolerate anymore, I would suggest a party. Hey, you know what? We should have a party because I know Brian would clean.
Yeah, those were the days, man. Those were the days, B.C.
B.C.
Before Chillin's.
Before Chillin's.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But, you know, I guess the kids, until they're 18, and then they're gone, and then you're back in that lifestyle, and you really don't know what to do with yourself with all this time on your hands. Of course, you're not.
I'll know.
You're
what
not
to do.
A bachelor anymore, and you're not in your 20s.
I'll still be playing in a post-punk band at 70.
You have to worry about rectal
prolapsing
and shit like that. Life just sucks, man.
It just sucks to get old.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny, man. We're twice the age of some of those. Almost, not quite. Well, yeah, I guess we could have been.
Yeah, sure, we could have been
the
their dads.
Some of them kids there. Yeah. We're like, what the fuck, man? We're keeping up with the kids. Especially when Rick suggested that we sound check with the Cheers theme.
Right.
They looked at us like, what?
Oh, no, that went over pretty well.
I know, yeah. They were just like, oh. All right, all right. And then the next song was like Skinheads. Skinheads Bowling.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh.
No, it was Strange.
Oh, Strange, yeah.
R.E.M. R.E. Yeah. Who? R.E.M.? What is that? I don't know what that is.
It was a blast, though, man.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was fucking far, too.
It was only far because we took this roundabout way. It was a lot. It wasn't as far when we went home.
No, no. Not at all.
So we wouldn't hit any lights because of, traffic or whatever. Rick suggested we go all the way to the Elgin O'Hare. And I'm like, holy fuck, that's like a mile or two out of the way. And then we had to drive back north. And then we, cut through the neighborhoods.
That's right, John. Cut through the neighborhoods.
Believing was a lot quicker.
A lot quicker.
Yeah, did you go to White Castle?
No.
Yeah, I just went home.
Man? Did you go? Yeah, you're like, you want to go to the Beacon, man?
Yeah, to see what band is playing. We can catch the last song. We don't have to pay cover.
There's no way we would have caught the last song. By the time we got there, it would have been 1:30 in the morning, and they closed at 2.
Oh.
So we would have been pulling up, hey, man.
Can we help you carry stuff to your car?
To see Rick Sicedo. Please.
All right. Now, as great as that night was, John, as great as that night was, think about the night before.
Oh, my God.
That night. The night before. That was a Friday night, July 18th.
Well, you know, for me, it was bittersweet because I drove from work, which is about 45 minutes, got home, got the kids, drove them to Huntley, which was 45 minutes, and then 45 minutes home in the fucking traffic. And then drive all you knuckleheads
you
all the way to
all
the
us
city.
Up to yeah. go to the city.
And then sit for 2.5 hours to watch the movie, then drive back. So no wonder my back was in knots.
Right. I didn't know you had that much driving.
Yeah, I drove like a good 3 hours.
That's brutal, man. Why didn't you let me drive? I would have drove your minivan. So yeah. What John's referring to is we had tickets to The Dark Knight. Not only that, but it was at the IMAX Navy Pier, John. IMAX Navy Pier. Now, originally, the world premiere was supposed to happen at Navy Pier because they did the film in Chicago.
Right.
But the negotiations between Navy Pier and Warner Brothers, whoever the fuck, broke down. So they had the world premiere in New York.
But there was a Hollywood premiere in Chicago.
Well, the world premiere was in New York, but then they also premiered it in L.A. and Chicago. And Chicago was at IMAX Navy Pier.
Yeah. And then Michael Caine was there and Gary Oldman.
Chris Nolan.
Because Lynn met him.
So Lynn is Rick's wife, and Lynn is the general manager of the IMAX Navy Pier.
Yes.
And which you did some audio work for.
Yes.
And I was kind of, was it before or after the movie? I think it was after. She took us into the Batcave that they constructed.
Yeah.
And your audio clip was on a loop.
Yeah.
And did you see the speakers it was coming out of? Are they going to rectify that
situation? I don't know, man. I was disappointed.
I mean, why even do it?
Yeah.
You know?
She
Why
should fire
even do
whoever
it?
The fuck set it up.
Yeah, she should.
Next time, Lynn, hire me. So, I would have made that thing sound so fucking good.
John put together this. We played it last podcast.
Yeah.
Is it eight minute loop or something like that?
Yeah.
So when the people are filtering into the theater, they hear this audio through this bat cave. And they had like two desktop speakers drilled into
wall. What it was part of a surround sound system, and they only got two of them up in time. And she was saying, because these are like kids that work for her.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do? Because, you know, the wires are going to be on the floor.
Yeah, what do we do with the wires?
What do we do with the wires? And she says, dumbass, run them up the wall and across the ceiling. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, one man's ceiling is another man's floor.
What? Shut up.
That's a great lyric by Paul Simon.
Another man's floor.
Pet anus. Yeah, so they totally fucked up your media presentation.
Yeah,
so that was
what are you gonna do?
But so anyway, so Rick, because we have a gig on Saturday, Rick is sick.
He's sick, yeah.
So he says I'm not going.
Oh, I'm like, oh my God, the gig's gonna be canceled. Rick's
I'm
gonna
stay under covers, try to break this fever so that I can play at this gig tomorrow. So Lynn, actually, we're supposed to go to the midnight movie. Then we find out it's the 9 o'clock movie. So Lynn's got tickets. Lynn comes by with her son, Ben, Special Ed gets invited. How does that happen? How does a Special Ed get an invite?
She says, hey, I got extra tickets. Do you want to bring anybody else? And I asked my wife, no, I have to pack for Vegas and get my toenails done. And
Right. You know, there's very important.
Women
toenails.
Have all this fucking prep before they go somewhere, you know?
Well, I asked my wife. She was just getting back from a week out of town. And I asked her, well, come on, let's drop the kids off at the in-laws. But she had just traveled, and she was like, no, I'm too tired.
Yeah, she was working.
So Special Ed gets wind of it, so he tags
along.
Well,
I call him, and I said, hey, you know, you want to go? Well, I got the kids. My wife's at a party. My wife says, bring them here. Just drop them off.
Nice.
So, drops them off, jumps in the car, and he's fucking still... creaming over the whole experience.
Well, we had a time constraint. It was pretty
down
like
to the
you
wire.
Guys picked me up at 8:15, right?
Yeah.
The movie starts at 9, and when I talked to Lynn, she's like, "Well, we only have like 2 minutes of previews."
Yeah.
Not like normal theaters where they have fucking 20 minutes
and
of advertisements
didn't even
and previews.
One of them that a teaser that Christian Bale is in. Did you hear about that?
Terminator 4?
Terminator.
Yeah, yeah.
Salvation.
I saw that on the web there,
yeah.
John. On the web.
But they're showing that at the other theaters.
Well, the cool thing
IMAX.
About Lynn bringing us down, a couple of cool things. She runs the goddamn place. That's number one. Next, she has a pass that you just have to swipe for parking. You don't have to deal with any pushing buttons and paying shit and all that crap. And so we
She's
get a parking
got some
spot.
Pull.
Then we walk up, and the concession line is
like a mile long.
A mile long. And she's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. Let's go sit
down.
I'll
take care of this.
She goes back to the concessions, and she says, I need this, 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 and this, and you are coming with me to help, you know, deliver it. So we get to sit down in the best seats in the house.
Yeah.
Back row center. So we got no assholes behind us kicking our chairs and shit like that. We sit down. 2 minutes of previews go by. What was the one? The Walker? The Watcher?
Yeah, the Watchman.
The Watchman. There you go. I would get it
the
eventually.
The Walker. I'm going to walk.
And then the movie starts. Dark Knight, John. Dark Knight. And I got to tell you right now, before we even discuss anything about The Dark Knight, this is one of the best movies I have ever seen. Everybody knows, if they listen to the show, that Back to Future is the best movie, in my opinion.
What? What?
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future?
Is still the best movie, in my opinion.
Really?
But this movie comes very, very close. Very, very close.
I cannot wait to see it again.
I must see this again. I have to see this movie again.
Now, my back is still killing me from how tensed up I was from the movie.
Well, now remember, we're at the IMAX. So the IMAX, there was four big scenes shot with the IMAX cameras.
Right.
In addition, the one thing that I always forget about IMAX, in addition, is the sound of an IMAX theater is beyond reproach, John.
That's too big for a TTN audience.
Yeah, I'm asking myself, does that even make sense? I don't know. It sounds good, though.
It made my balls rumble.
So we sit down, we watch this movie. The one thing I noticed, I observed about the audience is right before the movie started, there was these fucking assholes that had their laser pointers. And
some guy
even had
the bat signal.
And they're flashing on the screen. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I am so psyched about this movie, and I have to fucking have these assholes. I hope they fucking find these assholes and kick them out. But once the movie started, everybody was fucking focused.
Yeah.
Focused. And, you know, you think about that. We got there because of Rick and Lynn.
Yeah.
If we had to do this on our own,
we're
not going to see this movie for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to make fucking reservations. You're going to have to decide when you want to go.
Well, did you see the line when we left?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It was mobbed. And it's 11 o'clock or midnight almost.
All these things are sold out. So I don't even think we would have made it opening weekend if it wasn't for Lynn. So these people definitely wanted to see this movie. They're completely focused. And the movie retained that intensity throughout.
Yeah.
So there was none of this, you know, shit that happens normally when you go see a movie with these loud mouths or with the laser pointers and all that other shit.
Like at Hancock with the fucking family of 18 and their toddlers.
Right. Right.
Jesus.
Oh, but I was sitting next to Ben. Ben is what? 8 years
old?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think that's...
What?
Maybe when he's 12, but 8?
No, he was... I talked to him the next day. I went and
What is
Rick
he
going to
say? What is he going to say? No, I'm totally scared out of my fucking mind.
On Sunday, I said, what'd you think, Ben? Were you scared at all? No. It was really cool.
All right, I sat next to him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was he crying?
His hands were either covering his ears or covering his eyes the entire movie.
That's what kids do.
The entire movie. Yeah, so that's a whole other show, whether that's appropriate or not, to bring an 8-year-old to The Dark Knight.
Well, I had no idea either it was going to be so fucking violent, man.
Well,
there's not any like gore or blood, but the implication of violence is very intense.
All right, I'm sure Tom is listening, so we don't want to give away spoilers.
Well, there's no spoilers, but it is a very it's very funny. It's very intense.
It's a smart movie.
It's smart. Real, It plays off the violence very well. I mean, it's very well orchestrated.
The introduction of Joker, portrayed by Heath Ledger, and I think he deserves all the accolades. You know, the thing I was worried about is my expectations are going to be so high because of everything I've read that it's not going to meet those expectations. But he exceeded my expectations. Everybody says what a great performance. It is all that.
Yeah.
And more. And I think a lot of that has to do with the script as well. The guys who put the script together, which is the Nolan brothers, wrote it, right?
Yeah.
But his introduction. So there's an opening action sequence. And then his introduction to the audience is the most fucking kick-ass villain introduction. I don't think any movie can surpass this.
No.
Any of them. Because he walks into all these other villains.
Yeah.
The mob. He walks into a mob meeting, and he makes his presence felt immediately.
It's so fucking perfect, though. Who thinks of...
Immediately. I mean, that was...
Did you laugh?
I laughed... At first I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
I know.
And it was the best introduction of a villain, any character.
You talk about balls. That is like the biggest ballsy move.
Right. Well, but it also reflects his intelligence because he knows, he predicts that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And here's how he's going to deal with it. And what an impression he makes. What a fuck! Well, the first impression he makes is they all think he's a fucking freak.
Yeah.
But he's a consistent freak, and they eventually, the mob buys into what he's telling them. Outstanding.
It is.
And the, you know, who gets not mentioned because of the death of Heath Ledger is Christian Bale. Christian Bale is the best bucking? It's the best fucking Batman there ever ever will be. And the reason is, in my opinion, anybody can play Batman.
Yeah.
You just have to have a chin, right? You're running around in a suit.
Chin.
The key is...
I never thought of it that way.
The key...
All you need is a chin and you're Batman.
But the key to Batman is pulling off Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne.
And as Christian Bale showed us in American Psycho... He can pull off this dual personality.
Yeah.
And he's such a kick-ass billionaire.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., another kick-ass billionaire.
Yeah.
but I think Christian Bale's performance gets doesn't get enough attention. I mean, it's fucking great. Just great.
Yeah.
And the story, the script. But the problem with that is they're going to make a third one. I guess there's they're under contract to provide one more Batman.
Yeah.
Chris Nolan is. How the fuck is he going to top Joker as a villain? Because this Joker has no motive. You have to try to figure out what his motive is. He has nothing to gain, nothing to lose. He doesn't care about money.
And you know, Michael Caine like sums that up in a story about his past. And he just like says, basically says, yeah, this guy, he's like this guy that I used to know. And here's why. He's just into being a fucking nut job.
Right. They just want to mix it up.
He gets off on it. Yeah.
And
in a weird way,
but Joker,
so is Bruce Wayne. Yeah. Who the fuck wants to go out and fall from a fucking building day after night?
Well, that's one of the criticisms I have of the movie. Do you have any criticisms? Because I have some criticisms.
No, not a one.
I mean, it's still 4 out of 4 Spiny Normans for me. Because I have
a couple
of criticisms.
There's a scene that made me so goddamn happy. I don't want to give it away. I'll talk about it after the show.
After the show.
Because I was like, finally.
Finally. You can't tell it without giving away spoilers? No, I'm curious.
Somebody gets shut up in the movie who was in the previous movie, the character. And it made me very happy.
Shut up. When you say shut up, do you mean there's no possibility of them being in the third movie?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Very good. I'm with you.
I was like, finally.
Ugh. But the thing about this Joker is he's we talk about us, John. We are man.
We are men. We are man.
We are man's man. Men.
What are you drinking, man?
We are men among boys. Joker is the top villain of all villains. There is nobody that's going to be more villainous than the Joker. So how do they top that in the third one?
I don't know.
How do they possibly even come close? I guess you have to change the whole theme.
I'll tell you, Harvey Dent was creeping me out big time.
Oh, the CGI on that was great.
Oh, my God.
Well, the other thing is they didn't use a lot of CGI. A lot of that shit was the actual stunt work. And, I thought it was fucking... I can't wait to see it again. But I do have some criticisms. Now,
before we
get to the criticisms, do you have anything else to say about this this movie or that experience?
No.
So we finished, we got the tour of the Batcave, and then we just headed home. And I was speechless.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, awesome. Awesome.
Well, I said, what'd you think? It's all right. Yeah.
Well, you know, I was thinking back to all the movies that I had this much excitement about going into.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't wait for them to come out. This one is one of them, and it exceeded all my expectations. Pulp Fiction was another.
Meet the Spartans?
No, not at all. what was the other? There was one other. I can't even remember what it is. But there are only like three
Rambo.
Movies that I really... Close Encounters. That's when I was in sixth grade. So those three movies, and they all, I thought, are really part of the American movie culture.
Yeah.
All three of them.
Yeah.
And Dark Knight did not fail to impress me at all. I mean, I thought it was just a fucking great movie. But
They delivered.
I have some criticisms, John. Are you ready for those criticisms?
Here we go.
First and foremost, the casting of Maggie Gyllenhaal. Now, she took the role that was originally portrayed by Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
And I didn't think much of Katie Holmes in the role either.
Me either.
But in this movie, the character that she played, Rachel Davies or Dawes or whatever, ends up in the middle of a love triangle between Harvey Dent and Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And I couldn't buy it for a fucking second. Not 1 second. I tried to buy into it. I tried to buy into, okay, so physically she's not a billionaire caliber. Intellectually, what does she offer? Intellectually.
It's not that. It's, the, you know, the, they were childhood friends. And, you know, that was Bruce Wayne's connection to his family. And but just their fucking whininess, man. I couldn't stand it. You know, this righteous, you know, this guy's trying to work through his issues. And he's, okay, so he wears a mask and a cape and he's fucking up criminals, but she's this do-good, goody-two-shoes district attorney or whatever the fuck
yeah,
she is.
Yeah, district attorney.
District attorney. And it just...
Assistant.
Ugh.
Harvey Dent was the DA. Okay?
So goddamn whiny.
Well, and that's the other thing. So I'm searching for, okay, what are the qualities that attract both of these men? These men are arguably in the top five handsomest men on the planet. And Bruce Wayne's a goddamn billionaire. What are they attracted to? Now, you mentioned, okay, so he had the childhood with her and a connection to his family. I still don't buy it. The guy's a fucking billionaire.
so what?
And the other thing I don't buy is her righteousness in the face of billions of dollars. I mean, could anybody stand up to that? Could anybody?
I don't know. Maybe could she anybody could suck say, the chrome off a trailer hitch. I have no idea.
So that...
Come on.
I didn't buy it.
Have you ever bought any love interest in one of these superhero comic book, you know, Spider-Man? Did you buy the whole Kirsten Dunst?
No, I didn't. Well, with that, it's like the one of the appealing things about Spider-Man is that he's an ordinary guy. And he stumbles onto this superpower and... He stumbles his way through becoming a superhero.
Right.
So you can kind of see how a Kirsten Dunst would end up with a Peter Parker, right?
A Peter Parker.
But Bruce Wayne, a billionaire.
Yeah.
And what he was willing to sacrifice for her, I didn't buy it. Not for a second. And I tried to. I tried to look for things that would make me, put me in Bruce Wayne's shoes and convince me that, yes, I'm willing to make this sacrifice. And it didn't work for me. Didn't work. That's my first criticism.
So if you were a billionaire and your childhood friend who you were in love with this whole time, and you weren't really a billionaire at the time, your dad was, who brought you up to be, you know, this good, very liberal.
Was his dad really a billionaire?
Yeah.
Then how do they end up in a goddamn alley after a movie so the dad can get off
because
is what I want to know.
The son was not into the it wasn't a movie. It was a play or some shit. And they weren't into it. And he's like, all right, let's get the hell out of here. Instead of going through the front door, they snuck out the side. And, you know, it's they're just keeping true to the comic book, I guess. I don't know. And they get shot. It's a robbery. They get killed.
Right.
He's bitter. He's bitter about the whole thing.
Bitter.
He didn't
Very
do anything.
Bitter.
Didn't do his do anything to stop it. Now he's angry. He wants the fucking crime to stop.
I understand that.
And the only way is to stop it on his own because the cops are corrupt. They're on the take.
And again, he totally gets off. Like, you ask the question, what would you do if you're a billionaire and you run into your childhood friend?
Yeah, the first thing I'm going to do is risk my fucking life every night jumping off of rooftops.
Well, you have to buy into that to even buy into the goddamn movie.
Yeah.
But if you run into this friend, what are you going to do? You're going to try to impress her, which he did. I mean, he, especially when she was with a Harvey Dent. And then when he shows up at the fundraiser and the chopper and it makes the dramatic entrance with the models and stuff.
Yeah.
There was something going on there, but I just couldn't buy this Maggie Gyllenhaal. Didn't show me anything that would, I think he'd be more attracted to a Jake Gyllenhaal is what I'm saying. Nothing from
Maggie.
But then again, who are you going to cast in that role? Who would be able to pull that role off? I don't know. I have no idea.
I think, to me, it's minuscule. I mean, it's so small in the movie. Except I do like the part where the Joker is going to put his move on her, and he like brushes his hair back, his really scummy ass hair. It's fucking great.
Yeah. The other criticism I have.
Well, then you're going to love me.
And maybe you can explain this to me, but I heard that they shot like 4 hours of footage and they edited it down and ended up with 2 hours and 30 minutes or whatever.
Right.
The thing that I kept asking myself is, how the hell did we get here? They went from evacuating a hospital to having two ferry boats loaded with citizens and prisoners. And I'm like, how did this happen?
I don't know.
Did I miss something? I mean, I thought I was paying attention.
You weren't.
So all of a sudden, this situation presents itself, and they do a very good job of explaining what's happening. But how they got to that point, I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, there was things happening very fast. Like, Harvey Dent is one place, and then he's got a gun to some psycho's head trying to get him to talk.
So did they miss pages of the storyboard or something, and they just, you know, what happened in the editing room? I think when you're editing and you see the footage so over and over and over, it starts to make sense to you.
Yeah.
But from somebody who's seeing it for the first time, they're like, what happened there? It just kind of jumped from one thing to another, and I really didn't get a background story. But they did explain it well enough that you can, okay, I understand what's going on. But there was some.
But you got to crunch day and night into a movie in 2 hours, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So it's like there was a lot going on, you know, over day and night, day and night, day and night with the Joker. It must have been a couple of weeks of this going on as opposed to we're experiencing in 2 hours. But it is confusing. However, I really dug that dynamic, man, of the two ferry boats and what happened.
Right.
That was so cool. I'm like, oh, man.
Well, let me ask you, did you think that was... Now, they talk about premise and illogical conclusions and logical conclusions. Did you think that was a logical conclusion to that situation? What happened? I do not think that was illogical. I thought that was an illogical conclusion. And is that because I'm cynical? Is that because I'm skeptical? Is that because I do not have faith in the
mankind to make the right call?
Right.
I think it takes a lot to want to take a lot of people's lives and be the one that's responsible.
You're giving spoilers now.
I'm not giving anything, man.
All right, I won't say my next comment because that will give spoilers.
What?
My third criticism, the whole cell phone thing. Now, I'll buy into the sonar stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'll buy into that. Okay. But the amount of information they were receiving, how could they pinpoint fucking anything? I don't remember them mentioning voice recognition or anything like that. So this guy was inundated with data, and somehow he found the one in a bazillion that he was looking for.
What,
how did that happen?
What guy?
Fox. Morgan Freeman's character.
He says,
by the way, I set up this thing with these cell phones.
Yeah.
It's a sonar. But you're going to have to tell me where the Joker is. With no voice recognition. He's got to filter a billion conversations
and
find the Joker. How does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't give it much thought.
I did. And I said, where did all those hostages come from? How big is Joker's crew? It doesn't seem like
They're
it
huge,
could be that
man.
Big.
They come from the Narrows, dude. They're all escapees from Arkham Asylum.
And my last criticism is too much philosophy. Too much.
Too much.
Does this movie want to question moral values, or does it want to just show me a black and white straight ahead action movie? I was caught up in the straight black and white action movie, and I didn't want to think about the philosophical issues of Batman and Harvey Dent and the Joker. And maybe on a second viewing, I will get into that stuff. But the first, it was just too much information. Too much. Those are my criticisms. So now, after hearing my criticisms, do you have any criticisms?
And I miss you.
No.
None.
No.
All right. If you had a top five movie list, where would this end up?
Numero uno.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt, man.
Of all time.
Right now. Yeah. Hell yeah. I'm telling you, dude, I didn't want it to end. I did not want the movie to end. I wanted to sit there for the next 10 hours and watch that go on. And like I said, I want a movie to happen to me, and that movie happened to me. I felt like I was part of it, you know, especially some of those really awesome cityscapes, those big, especially with the IMAX, the big, giant, long, quiet scenes with him on top of a rooftop, and they're just, and it's nighttime. Oh, that's just so cool. The whole thing was really cool.
Very cool, very creative. Great movie.
And it hit everything as far as I'm concerned. It was funny. It was terrifying. There was some jumping parts where, like, fuck! You know, there was very intense, I don't want to say as far as mystery. There wasn't, like, a whole lot of mystery. But there was some, you know. But there was a lot of those situations. There was a couple of those situations where the Joker was trying to make a point that he can bring anybody down to his level. It doesn't matter how fucking righteous you are, I can bring you down to my level.
Right, and I think he made it most poignantly with the one of the cops who had to walk in the room and kind of guard him.
Yeah, right. He kept just needling them until the cop snapped and,
Well, he's
up.
Like a Hannibal Lecter rolled up into, who knows what
a
the
clown.
Fuck. I mean, a clown. And all the different versions of stories of why he smiles the way he does.
Yeah.
Great storytelling, great filmmaking. Great action sequences.
I love the weird licking he's doing. Like he's licking his scars.
Well, the guy totally fucking put a lot of thought into how he was going to portray that character. And it really shows. It really shows. Like, you know, I think about the original Batman with Michael Keaton. And I liked that movie when it first came out because I like Jack Nicholson quite a bit. But it was still on the campy kind of side.
Yeah.
And there were some major flaws for me. One was the fucking Arliss asshole ruined the whole movie for me.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stand that fucking guy. And the other, there's one scene that didn't seem authentic to me at all, is when Joker ends up at Vicky Vale's house and Michael Keaton's there and he smashes a golf club and he confronts him. You know, let's do it. Let's do it right now. Or whatever the fuck he says.
Yeah.
Let's dance. I thought that was just a bunch of shit.
But dude, that movie was made for only $38 million.
The original Batman?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
How much did it make? It made a lot, didn't it?
It made, let's see, what does it say here? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, this is funny. Proving that American audience just wanted a little more chaos in their movies, The Dark Knight is on track to have the highest non-holiday opening weekend. What was it, $155 million?
Yeah.
Shattering the
Spider-Man
3. 3. to put it in some perspective, Batman Begins opening weekend was like $48 million. Dark Knight will make more money than the entire theater run of George Clooney's Batman and Robin, $107 million. The massive success of the movie's opening weekend will also almost certainly guarantee that The Dark Knight will become the most successful Batman movie yet. A title currently held by Tim Burton's 1989 Batman, which made $250 million at the American box office. But it won't take the title of the most profitable. The Dark Knight cost an estimated $180 million to make, and so hasn't broken even yet by comparison. Burton's Batman only cost $35 million, meaning that it made its cost back more than seven times. In order to beat that record, The Dark Knight would need to gross somewhere in the region of $1,285 million, or $1,285 million. And while it's undoubtedly going to be that successful of a movie, could it really double the domestic gross of current box office ruler Titanic?
Titanic.
But yeah, $35 million. So that, you know, but they didn't flip over a semi in the middle of downtown Chicago.
Right. Right on.
Just fucking great, man. Some of the stunts were just insane. Insane. And the fact that the Joker just takes on Batman like he's some regular guy, just the fight scenes were kick ass, and he's talking through the whole thing.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Or when he after the hospital was evacuated. Yeah. That's one of my favorite scenes.
It was funny.
They stole an idea from Ocean's 11 in that scene.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's okay though.
I loved it. And great they movie. Actually blew up a building. The Bronx,
4 out of 4.
The Bronx Candy.
You must see this movie.
Must see.
Even if you're not a comic book fan, it's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Oh, it departs. It's a work of art, I think.
It
totally departs from the actual comic bookiness.
The comic bookiness.
It's very dark.
Oh, I do have a couple of stories about The Dark Knight. Concerning Katie Holmes, one of the stories. Katie Holmes had the role of Rachel Dawes in the Batman Begins and then simply turned it down. Of course, after hooking up with Tom Cruise for The Dark Knight, with her people saying she was unable to accept the role because of scheduling issues.
Yeah. I bet she's kicking herself in the ass right
now. You know what
right
the scheduling
now.
Issue was?
What?
Mad Money.
Oh, my God.
Did like 4 people see that movie, yeah. Mad Money?
Oh, and guess what?
But here's the real reason.
$155 million.
Here's the real reason, as reported by TMZ. Right? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Katie Holmes turned down the role of Rachel Dawes in The Dark Knight because Lord Xenu told her that Scientology beliefs
up.
Conflicted with the film's message. How fucking creepy is
Shut
that?
Shut up.
I'm serious.
You're lying.
Did you know, I don't know if you know this, but there's photos of her and her hands are all purple and she's hiding her hands like all last week.
No.
Do you know why her hands are purple?
No.
Word is she has taken part in a Scientology purification ritual that caused her hands to go purple.
Ugh.
The purification ritual is called the purification rundown or the purif. People going through this process take vitamin bombs to get toxins out of their bodies. A source says that in almost every single case, Scientology founder Hubbard recommends dosages that are well above the safe limits. In some cases, 142 times more than the toxic level. The side effects of such huge dosages range from liver damage, hair loss, brain swelling, nausea, and fatal heart and respiratory failure. The cleanse also prescribes huge really having trouble. Huge doses of swallowing called Nason. A report says large doses of this can cause liver damage, peptic ulcers, and skin rashes.
Wow.
Even normal doses can be associated with skin flushing. So, I don't know if you've seen a photo of Katie Holmes lately, but first of all, she looks fucking alien. She looks anorexic, and her hands are fucking purple.
Ugh.
I mean, do you see yourself in the mirror and say, what have I gotten myself into? I mean, how long does the Tom Cruise magic last before you realize you're in a goddamn cult and he's controlling everything you do?
Her career is fucking done.
We need to start a website, if there isn't already one. Save Katie Holmes.
Save Katie Holmes.
Because it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that's why she turned down The Dark Knight. It's probably because Tom Cruise said, no, I don't want you to work in Dark Knight.
Yeah, I don't want you to make a bazillion dollars.
Smart guy. I don't want you to spend time with him. And Harvey Dent, that guy's... who the fuck played Harvey Dent? He's an attractive man. I'm, and they're taller than me. I'm kind of intimidated by
that. What is it? Eckert?
Eckert. There you go. Etchigo. Eckert.
Eckert.
Eckert. One other story.
And then we'll
take a break. It's more of a celebrity story, but it involves Maggie. How do you say it? Gyllenhaal or Gyllenhaal?
I don't know.
Anyway,
same spelling as Jake.
And this is why, you know, when we talk about...
Sister, brother, and sister?
Yes, they are. Oh. When you talk about professions, psychics, one of the worst professions you can have. I mean, it's despicable, that profession. But when you hear this story, you're going to question paparazzi and psychics. Which is worse? Which is worse, paparazzi or psychics? Listen to this, John. This is unfucking believable. Maggie Gyllenhaal had an early taste of what it's like to be a celebrity, new mother, when members of the paparazzi reported a fake fire at the actress's apartment just so she'd come out into the street with her baby. Did you hear that? Can you believe that? I mean, is that the lowest, most despicable thing outside of being Sylvia Brown that you can think of? I mean, that is just repulsive.
That's fucked up.
I can't believe the lengths that they'll go to get a fucking photograph.
Those motherfuckers should be shot.
I mean, it's just, it's nauseating. It's disgusting.
It's nauseating.
It's disgusting. If you're into paparazzi, you should just take a gun and put a bullet in your head right now because you're of no
fucking
use.
Fucking losers.
You're not going to exchange ideas with anybody.
No.
There's nothing going on upstairs.
You're a fucking leech.
You're a piece of shit. You can't do anything else.
Cocksucking.
The only thing you can do is take photos of people. Well, I do admit that's kind of creative. What? You know, let's call in a fighter.
Yeah.
And to have her come out. So there is some creativity going on there, but it's not used in an appropriate way.
You motherfucker.
It almost led her to turn down the role of Rachel Dawes in the Batman movie.
Rachel Dawes.
This incident.
Yeah.
She was trying to navigate her way through the media intrusion when this offer came. So this happened, and then she got the offer. And she's like, what the fuck? I mean, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
But you know what she said?
What?
But I'm going to do it.
But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
I'm not going to hide.
She's Italian.
And, I'm an actress.
I'm going
to do it. This is what I do. They pay me a lot of money to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Nice.
One more thing before we go to break, John. I'm sorry. Nice. One more thing. Now, last week... Phil was in, of course. Phil's usually here when we do a podcast. Yeah. He shows up at the end. Now, over the course of 138 episodes, there are plenty of examples of stupidity and just bad dyslexic grammar from the two of us.
Right.
But Phil, he's a professional. He's never, he really never screwed up until last week. So we brought a clip of that in, of Phil not really being stupid, but really having trouble getting the word Democrat or is it Democratic out in one of his stories.
Well, we'll see.
It's one of the funny. I mean, I almost drove off the road when I was reviewing this.
And we also have audio of a woman with some gas.
Yes, a woman with some gas. But first, let's hear from Phil McCracken.
Oh, right now?
Yes, right now. Oh. Phil McCracken would come last week's newscast.
Do it, later.
Right now. We'll do it again when he shows up.
All right.
Next story, John. It's more of a thought for the day, not a story. Politicians are the only people in the world who create problems and then campaign against them. Have you ever wondered why? If both the Democrats... I'm sorry? If both the Democrats... Next story, John. It's more of a thought for the day, not a story. Politicians are the only people in the world who create problems and then campaign against them. Have you ever wondered why? If both the Democrats... I'm sorry? If both the Democrats...
Medcaratics? It's a new party made of doctors, the Medcaratics.
We have deficits.
Have to be mixed up with the paramedcaratics from the fire department.
We have inflation and high taxes.
Oh, dude, right. Man.
The medcaratics.
It's more of a story. Politicians are the only...
All right, I'm ready for a break. You ready for... What do we got coming up in break?
Have you ever wondered why? Politicians are the only people in the world who create problems.
Is that the end of it, or
no? It's coming.
Sorry?
Up.
If both the Democrats, the Medcaratics.
There's like a stutter.
The Medcaratics.
The Medcaratics. I mean, if that's not fucking dyslexia, I don't know what is.
The Medcaratics. The Medcaratics.
I love you.
Ah.
And I miss you.
The Medcaratics.
I'm eating liquor.
The Medcaratics.
You gotta stop, man. Let's take a break.
All right.
What do we got coming up?
This is King of the Mountain, and then I Come from the Water.
Nice.
From practice.
Take it to the post.
Yeah.
Walking through the high, dry grass, pushing my way through slow. Yellow belly black snake sleeping on a red rock, waiting for the stranger to go. Shoot the train stops at the crossing. Hey, cottage cruising below. Mad dog coming, better run to the top of the mountain. Mountain in the shadow of night. Top of the mountain in the shadow of life.
This is what John Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott, and you're listening to episode 138. John.
The Bedcore Addicts.
I love you.
I have one correction, then we'll get into some email.
The Bedcore Addicts.
All right, stop it. It's not as funny out of context.
The Medcore Addicts.
That'd be a good name for a band. The Medcore Addicts.
The Medcore Addicts.
Correction. Now, last week we reported that...
Correct, boy, wonder!
Diamond David Lee Roth was saved by some cops when he had an allergic reaction to some nuts.
Some nuts.
Turns out, John, that it's a fake Diamond Dave.
Ugh.
Cops say they've ID'd the man who pulled the rhinestone wool over their eyes, claiming to be David Lee Roth.
Lord, strike that poor boy down!
According to the Toronto Star, Ontario Provincial Popo. Popo?
Wow, Diamond Dave!
Get this, they're fingering David Kuntz.
Oh.
You know, if you drop the T from Kuntz, it's Kunz. Well, if you drop the Z, it's cunt.
Ah.
The Bedcore Addicts?
As the cashew allergic nut that has been duping people across Canada. In May, the fake Dave fooled Ontario cops that pulled him over for speeding and told them that he was suffering from an allergic reaction to nuts. The cops then went on the local TV news talking about how they helped save David Lee's life. But it's the fake David Lee.
Fake.
It's fake.
You motherfucker.
So David Lee is not allergic to nuts.
No.
The fake isn't even allergic to nuts. He just used it as an excuse.
I'm really struggling, John.
I'm really struggling.
Remind me not to drink Bruce Laden?
Yeah, Bruce Ladich.
Bruce Ladich.
The Bedcore Addicts?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, I got a couple of emails here, John. Emails.
Really?
This one from Christian. Not last show, but I guess the show before we read an email from Christian. And he follows up. He says, I just want to apologize for my last email, which was read on 136. It sounded so hate-ish. I don't know why I bashed on the U.S. when I... In fact, kind of like it. Keep up
the good work.
I can't remember that original email. Can you?
Oh.
When he bashed on the U.S.? Well, that's all we do is bash on the U.S., don't we, John?
Yeah.
So I don't see what the problem is. I don't see what the problem
is. All I got to say, Christian, is
I love you.
This one's from Andrew. Andrew UK. Thought you might want some after-show reporting on the Jay-Z at Glastonbury Shocker. So we originally reported a story that Jay-Z was going to headline this Glastonbury Fest, which is the biggest music festival in the UK. And I said there's no reason for Jay-Z to be there. He doesn't need to be there. And I agreed with Gallagher, not the comedian, but the guy, Noel Gallagher from Oasis, who also criticized the rapper's appearance on the bill. Gallagher said, I'm not having hip-hop at Glastonbury. It's wrong. And I agreed with him. Jay-Z's got no business being there. But Andrew sent us this follow-up story. And the follow-up story, this is after it occurred, this music fest. The hip-hop star, real name Sean Carter, walked on stage last night with a guitar before launching into a rendition of Oasis' 1995 hit Wonderwall, which was warmly received by the crowd. Following his rock tribute, Jay-Z then performed a cover of Amy Winehouse's hit Rehab, who had earlier criticized him for not knowing all his lyrics. He shouted, for those that you did... He shouted, for those that didn't get the memo, my name is Jay-Z, and I'm pretty fucking awesome. Against a backdrop of image of U.S. President George W. Bush, Jay-Z freestyled about his country's government's failures after Hurricane Katrina. Just hours before he performed, Jay-Z upset Glastonbury organizers after constantly changing his travel plans ahead of the headline performances. The 38-year-old New Yorker had been due to arrive by helicopter early yesterday for a tour of the 500-acre site in Pilton. But a source close to Michael Evis, the owner of Worthy Farm, said the singer's entourage wanted to be driven in. A plan to fly Jay-Z to the festival by helicopter was finalized just hours before his performance. So he's just a big goddamn headache is what it is for the organizers. And he's an arrogant SOB. I'm pretty fucking awesome is the first thing he says.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we went to the party we played at Saturday and the first thing we said was, hey, we're pretty fucking awesome.
We're pretty fucking awesome, man.
And we changed our travel plans, huh, and got there late?
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit wouldn't fly.
No.
And that shit doesn't fly here.
No.
At Glastonbury.
No.
So I hope they don't invite that cocksucker back. Now, Andrew doesn't offer his own opinion, or does he? Let me see. Oh, yes, he does. He says, this Jay-Z sounds like a threat to Gallagher for the Mr. Asshole of the Universe.
Nice. It's very good, Scott.
I'm sorry, I have one more email, so I didn't hit the target there. No, that's a different email. Okay. This one we just got today, John, just today. This is from Twilight... I don't know how to pronounce this. Twilight Thebes. Or is it the bees? I don't know. Hi there. I've been hearing about TTN on Punky for a while now and finally decided to give it a listen. Wow. I am loving your show. The moment I heard you say that Bush was shitting on the Constitution, I knew I had to subscribe. I got Phil disease, man.
I can't wait to hear that one. Subscribe.
You're the only podcast that gives me good political news and then makes me cry from laughing so hard later on. The sheep disguised as a poodle crack me up. That's from Twilight of the Twilight and Thebes show.
Nice.
Or is it Twilight and the Bees show? sex, politics, guns, and hippie love. And when we post our podcast, we'll put a link to Twilight and the bees.
Subscribe.
And that's it for email, John.
I got a little note from Phil.
Phil, the bass player.
The bass player, yeah. Hi, guy. The revamped TTN site looks cool. Glad to hear a new episode, too. Seems like the band has hit a good stride playing out regularly. I guess the catheter reunion will have to wait. Genius is building momentum. So
really?
So
does
is my bowel
how?
Movements.
Yeah, how are they building momentum? My bowels are building momentum, and then I take a big shit.
They had a gig back way back when.
Well, do they have a? Well, they have a mailing list, right? Did we get emails about the gig? How did we find out about the gig?
Yeah, I got one from Marty.
The Bunker Addicts?
So they got email lists. They are building momentum.
Yeah, momentum.
Momentum. Yes. Momentum.
I love you.
Well, the next gig they get, they'll have to let us know right away so we can announce it, and I could try to rearrange my schedule to see.
Rearrange.
The momentum-building genius perform.
So I want to... I want to.
What do you want to do?
A spinoff from this and talk about a video. Mm-hmm. It's a very disturbing video.
It's a video that I found. I don't know where I found it.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
Called Cake Farts.
Cake Farts.
And I didn't know what to think of it at first as I started watching it.
Isn't the internet great?
It's very disturbing.
I mean, if it weren't for the internet, we would never have seen something like this.
Right.
Would we?
No. And it's quite
so it opens
strange.
Up, the camera just pans around a chocolate
you know what
cake.
I like the
yeah.
Most?
A single layer chocolate cake.
Cake farts.
So then this woman introduces herself.
And she licks the frosting off the cake, and it's on a counter. It's a flat cake, like a mini sheet cake. And she's walking around the counter in a tank top and nothing on the bottom.
Nothing on the bottom.
Nothing.
So she gets up there.
Yeah.
She straddles the cake.
Yeah.
Where she gets the cheeks and the...
And the anus.
The tet anus.
Tet anus.
Covered in
yeah.
cake frosting.
Anus. Anus.
And then she
starts farting on top of the cake.
Well, she lifts her ass up off the cake and then starts to fart.
With the frosting what on her is. Ass.
Oh,
yeah. There's just something wrong with
it. Is, there's something totally wrong with that.
It makes me want to throw up.
But there's something so right about it as well.
She's prolapsing. I want to throw up.
It is so wrong, but there is something right about it because in America, I don't know what it's like in the UK, but America, the media is controlled by corporations. Advertisers control the media. They control to the content of the media.
Yes.
Corporations down to the most minute detail.
Yeah.
You would never see anything like this. In today's corporate mass media.
No.
Nothing.
No.
You go to the internet, and you get to see whacked out shit like this. Unbelievably whacked out. I mean, who even came up with this idea?
Right, right.
And then not only coming up with, like, you and I may have come up with the idea. We would never follow through on this.
No.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
But somebody did. And they videoed it, and they put it on the web.
Yeah. It's just fucked up.
What I'm wondering is, do people in China get to see shit like this, or is it censored?
So they can't even see the
glory that is cake farts.
And there's another link on there for pudding farts.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean pudding farts?
See our sister site, Pudding Farts.
Pudding farts. Oh,
yeah, pudding.
Not P-U-T-T-I-N-G.
Pudding.
Pudding.
Like chocolate pudding.
Yeah, well, that's the other great thing. The whole website is dedicated to this video of a cake fart. And now there's a link with pudding farts? I didn't even see that.
I thought somebody, like, just ate some cake and and
farted. But no.
It goes a little, it's more detailed than that.
Yes, it's very profound.
All right, I got one quick clip of McCain. And then I think we should look outside if you can't see if Phil's here yet.
Really? Already?
Yeah, man.
Oh, I got.
You said 9:30 to 11. It's already 11:10.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh shit! I got religious news. I got.
All right, let's play this one quick clip, and we'll move along. We'll talk about it real quick.
I'm going to pick out
kind of the genius this guy is.
The best couple of stories, and then we'll get Phil in.
All right.
Here. All right.
Victory and honor.
Do you agree the situation in Afghanistan is precarious and urgent?
Oh, I think it's very serious.
Not precarious.
I think it's a serious situation. Oh, I don't know exactly whether run through the vocabulary, but it's a serious situation. But there's a lot of things we need to do. We have a lot of work to do, and I'm afraid that it's a very hard struggle, particularly given the situation on the Iraq-Pakistan border.
Okay, a couple things. First of all, does he have a vocabulary that they can actually go through and outside of maybe 300 words? And did they move Pakistan or Iraq so that they border each other? Does this guy have a clue to anything?
He doesn't have a clue. And the thing is it his age or did he never have a clue?
Is it a senior moment?
Is it a senior moment?
Do we want a guy with his finger on the button to have a senior moment?
Did he never, ever have a clue? We're attributing it to his age, but he may have never had a clue. And if you look at his record in school, like the W, this guy graduated like from the bottom third. There were three other people that were dumber than him. Four other people that were dumber than him in his class of 800.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, his dad was an admiral. So he may have been the goddamn dumbest.
Yeah.
And because his dad was an admiral, we can't make him the last one. Let's make him the fifth from the last one. So who knows? Because you got the W going to, come on, really?
The dummy.
Can that guy, he supposedly went to, what, Yale?
Yeah.
And graduated? I can't believe that for a fucking second. And if it wasn't for his dad, he wouldn't have gotten a C. They talk about him getting C's. Come on. Give me a fucking break. That guy...
You
cocksucker! He would struggle to be the night manager at McDonald's. It would be overwhelming to him. I can't imagine him...
Would you like fries with that?
He skipped out on his National Guard duty. You know that he skipped out on classes.
Yeah.
His dad paid for his education, which he never received. He never went to class. Come on. It's a goddamn joke.
Yeah.
Goddamn chimp.
Chimp.
And getting back to McCain, not only does he not know geography, he still talks about Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, right.
Czechoslovakia hasn't existed for how many years?
Yeah.
20 years? He's mentioned it on two occasions. So the first time he mentioned it, you'd think somebody would say to him, hey, Czechoslovakia doesn't exist anymore. And maybe they said that, maybe they didn't. Maybe he surrounds himself with dopes. I don't know.
He had a senior moment.
But he says it again. And a third time he says it. It's unbelievable. He's dumber than the W. Dumber. I'm telling you.
The dummy.
And he's got a... The W's got a weird laugh. But McCain's takes it to a whole new level. It's like a pedophile laugh, if you ask me. Guys are goddamn dope.
Yeah.
I would vote for anybody other than McCain.
But that goddamn
is
dope.
There somebody that I would not vote for other than McCain? That's the question.
Jesus. No?
I'd vote for Jesus.
Yeah.
Before McCain.
Nice.
Is there somebody I would vote for TP? Before I'd vote for Papucci.
The Papooch.
I'd vote for Marty before McCain.
Yeah. I hear that. I hear that.
Is there anybody we wouldn't vote for before McCain? Before we vote for McCain.
It's tough. I
can't think of anybody.
It's tough. I don't know.
The Joker. Would you vote for the Joker?
I would vote for the Joker in a heartbeat.
Really?
Oh, he'd do much better.
We'd have to analyze that situation. Hold on. Before I get the door, I got one religious story.
Oh, you do?
One religious story. This is out of Indianapolis, John.
Sinner, do not stray from the straight and narrow way.
Right on. Sinner, do not stray. Donut.
Donut. You get your donuts at Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, we're falling apart quickly,
you get,
aren't we?
Your donuts. We have a special on the Metacritics.
We have to get to Phil because it's falling apart so quickly because of the Bruce Laddich. Bruce Laddich. All right, so out of Indianapolis, John, a woman believes a higher power helped her and her two young great-granddaughters survive a shooting. Before stray bullets from a gun battle ripped through her car, Charlotte Thompson didn't even know what gunfire sounded like. "I'd never heard a gunshot," she said. She was sitting at a red light around 7 p.m. Monday when the fight broke out. "We heard this pow, 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 pow," Thompson said. Then Cheyenne said, "Oh, I'm shot." Now, I think it's tremendous tragedy that kids get shot.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason
right.
for that to fucking happen.
Ever.
Her 10-year-old great-granddaughter was sitting in the back seat, shot in the stomach, John. In the stomach. Now, I've heard from, you know, I watch Reservoir Dogs. That's the most, the knee and the stomach are the most painful places. Yeah. "I turned around and looked, and she raised up her shirt, and I could see the bullet," Thompson said. "I could see where it went in, and I could see where it went out."
Wow.
Thompson's other great-granddaughter, 13-year-old Jalen, was in the back seat too, on the driver's side. "She was crying, too, because she thought she was shot, too," Thompson said. Police later showed Thompson the path the bullet took through her car. She now believes that path was guided by God. Came through the door.
Which one?
Hit her. Then it went into the Bible.
Oh.
She said, "All right, now I have a problem with that. If God did direct the bullet, wouldn't it come through the door, go into the Bible, and not hit her at all? If God directed it?"
Scott, God works in mysterious ways, okay?
I understand that. But if you want to attribute God with that, why would it hit the Bible after it went through her stomach?
God works in mysterious ways.
Right, but, okay, let's say, hypothetically, let's say I bought into religion and my daughter got shot and the bullet ended up in the Bible after it went through her. Wouldn't that say to me, you better get your shit together and start reading the good book, or more of this is going to happen to you. But not to her.
Or God will fuck you up.
Or God will fuck you up. But to her, it says that somehow God saved the granddaughter. I mean, it's the logic is so fucked up.
Twisted.
It's twisted.
Yeah.
The Bible was sitting on a seat between the two girls. "I went in here and I come out here and it shredded my Sunday school book. The Word of God slowed the bullet so that it didn't kill anybody." Okay, so her interpretation is the bullet slowed down but still managed to go through her granddaughter. And it hit the Bible. So because it hit the Bible, she interprets it that God slowed the bullet down so it didn't kill her.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's beautiful.
Not only that, John, I don't know if you know this, but a watermelon also played a part.
Oh.
A watermelon Jalen was holding in her lap eventually stopped the bullet. A watermelon. Does it get any praise? No, the watermelon? No.
But the Bible.
It went right in the watermelon. It didn't come out the watermelon, Thompson said.
The word who did they call, though? Did they call it?
The Bacaratic?
I don't know. She says, Thompson says, the word of God and the Lord's prayer. I'm sorry. The word of God and the Lord's power saved. He sent the bullet into the watermelon.
All right.
So I guess so it didn't ricochet and hit somebody else.
It's the magic bullet.
She said that both her granddaughters were okay and that eventually Cheyenne's bullet wound would heal. I find this, first of all, journalists to print a story like this is offensive to me.
Yeah.
Second of all, the logic, don't they ask themselves, if God was involved, why wouldn't he stop the bullet in midair? Why would he need any, why wouldn't he just redirect it around her and shoot it in the Bible?
I don't know. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on trying to figure this out. Apparently, you've lost some sleep over it.
I do. I really do. I lose some sleep over this. I do. One other religious story. I'm sorry. A principal of a New York Catholic school was arrested Sunday after being caught naked with two other men. Two men got out and met a third person on the side of my house, a nearby resident said. And then they went on the property, and that's when I called 911. 41-year-old Gabriel DeJesus, who heads Sacred Heart School for the Arts in Mount Vernon, is currently being investigated by the New York Archdiocese.
Wow.
He's been well-regarded as an educator. DeJesus would only say that he made a mistake. When asked for comment.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, man. Let me get the door. Phil's here.
You going to go get the door?
I do know he has a short newscast. He's been working on his dyslexic speech.
The Bacaratics?
Hey! Man, what's happening? Come on. Come on!
The Bacaratics?
I do a pretty good impression of Phil, though.
Yeah,
right?
You do.
The Bacaratics.
Hey, did you know Rabbi Samoth?
No. Who's he?
Rabbi Mark Samoth contends in a soon-to-be-published article that the four-letter Hebrew name for God held by Jewish tradition to be unpronounceable since the year 70 should actually be read in reverse. When the four letters are flipped, he says, the new name makes the sounds of the Hebrew word for he and she. God thus becomes a dual-gendered deity, bringing together all the male and female energy in their universe, the yin and the yang, that have divided the sexes from Adam and Eve to Homer and Marge.
That's unbelievable to me, that people actually waste their time analyzing.
This is the kind of God I believe in.
And it gets printed.
The kind of God that makes sense to me in a language that speaks very, very deeply to human aspirations and striving.
And for you to be able to read it on our show.
How could God be male and not female?
That's why was it unpronounceable? How could that be? I mean, if Phil can pronounce...
the Medcaratics.
Medcaratics, what cannot be pronounceable?
Know. Maybe Phil has actually stumbled on the actual name for God.
That could
the Bacaratics?
Be. That is, like, I cannot repeat that.
I know.
I don't know if Phil can repeat
Phil
that.
Phil was reading it backwards. The Hebrew word for God is he, she, and Phil has stumbled upon it. Here it is.
The Bacaratics?
Oh, he's getting pissed. He's throwing his shit around.
Oh, boy.
Come on, Phil. Relax, man, all
right? Relax. Are you ready? Is he ready? Oh, boy.
He's not talking.
Oh, what was that? He's not going to start shooting,
come on,
is
man.
He?
Pick up your paper, all
come
right?
On.
Do you want me to pick it up? Hold on, I got to pick up his paper.
All right.
There you go. Come on. What's wrong?
What are you doing? Why is he bent over? What's going on there?
All right, he took his news back. He gave me the head nod. He's ready to go.
Thank you. Fuck faces.
With your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
But our first story tonight. Come on, Phil. What's wrong, man? Why you being like that? Why you being like that?
Come on, Phil. Listen to this.
I'm eating licorice.
Oh, he's upset.
That's the kind of phone messages I get from Scott.
I'm eating licorice.
Very proud of you. All right, go ahead, Phil.
Well, you know, it's okay for you two gentlemen to poke fun at yourselves, but I'm a professional. I'm a newsman. This will undoubtedly end up on my resume. Which I have no interest in. Usually in the news profession, I get to do several takes, but of course you do your show live, so to speak, where there is no post-production, and I'm just not accustomed to that. So in a normal news situation, I would make some mistake like that. It was an obvious mistake, and we'd be able to correct that mistake. But no, you want to take it out of context for everybody to hear.
Okay, Bill O'Reilly.
The one time
out of context
in 138 episodes that I've misspoken.
Maybe it's a bad mic. Maybe we had a bad mic.
Okay, you can make excuses. Try to lighten it up some more. That
worked, motherfucker. But this is very serious to me, John. This is my profession.
And I don't like being mocked.
All right, sorry. Sorry about that.
The Macaratics?
Can I get to the news, please?
Give it a shot.
All right, first story tonight, John. I've heard of spanking the monkey and choking the chicken.
Ah.
But rubbing the bulldog? A Sacramento man was in jail Tuesday after he was caught allegedly sexually assaulting a dog. Sacramento police were called out to 212 Christian Drive. At 6 p.m. Tuesday, after a woman allegedly caught her brother using her five-month-old bulldog, Chateau, to masturbate.
What?
The woman made a citizen's arrest against her brother and called police. The suspect, Kelly Pecor, now faces the charge of sexual assault of an animal. Pecor is a registered sex offender. Yes, he was rubbing it up against the bulldog, John.
Oh, Jesus.
So we have Speck at the Monkey, choke at the chicken, and rubbing the bulldog. Next story, John. Police are now searching for a man who robbed a gas station with a fluorescent light bulb. Come on, Phil. Don't get pissed off.
Fluorescent.
Police are now looking for a man who robbed a gas station with a fluorescent light bulb. Is that better, John?
The Macaratics?
He is described as white, chubby, and not very bright. Next story, John. A man says he was so consumed by the Spirit of God that he fell and hit his head while at a Knoxville church. Since this is America, what do you think happened next, John?
What?
Now he wants Lakewind Church to pay $2.5 million for medical bills.
Nice.
Lost income and pain and suffering, he says he endured from his injuries. Matt Lincoln, who is 57, says he's decided to sue the church after its insurance company denied his claim for medical bills. Lincoln has had two surgeries since the 2007 incident, but says he still feels pain in his back and in his legs. The severe county man says he was asking God to have a real experience while praying at church. He says he has fallen from the force of the Spirit before, but has always been caught by someone. Lawyers for the church
say other congregants saw him on the floor laughing after his fall. They say he failed to look out for his own safety. Next story, John. The Dalai Lama says, although he doesn't agree with it, it's wrong and unfair to call Islam a violent religion. Islamic leaders applaud, say they'll kill him last. Next story, John. If you take your computer to the store for repair, it's never a good idea to have a folder called preteen gay porn in your Jesus My Documents folder. Christ. A man was arrested and charged with 766 counts of possession of child pornography Wednesday, 3 months after computer technicians spotted hundreds of graphic photos of children on his computer and called police. My Documents folder contained a file called preteen gay porn and contained about 4,000 images.
It contained it.
With a Z. If convicted,
oh my God,
monks could face 5 to 15 years in prison for each photo, said Don Buff, assistant state attorney for the 12th Judicial Circuit. A recent change in state law allows children unidentified. I'm sorry. A recent change in state law. It's not funny, John. Allows children identified in pornographic images to sue whoever possesses them, she said. Next story, John. A man claims God lets him cure cancer during tent revivals. In related
news,
did you
say tent revivals?
Tent revivals. In related news, still no cure for the hundreds of thousands of dopes who believe he can. Next story, John.
Hey, you know, when I was at a doctor's office, and I said, hey, doc, I'm dreaming of wigwams and teepees. He said, relax, you're too tense. What's that? What's that?
That's my cricket impression.
Oh, no, that goes
horribly lame joke.
No, you whistle. That. Like, what, do you start a lawnmower?
The Macrotics?
Next story, John. Zimbabwe, John. Zimbabwe introduces the $100 billion bill. That's billion with a B. $100 billion bill.
Nice.
With a crisp new $100 billion with a B dollar bill.
Billion.
You can buy 4 oranges. Next story.
That's some inflation.
Next
there.
And last story, John. Sean Connery has been accused.
Sean Connery.
Of stopping. I'm sorry. Sean Connery is accused because he, quote, stopped giving his son money to force him to make his own way in life.
How do you miss all those words?
Wait a minute. You can be accused of that? Like, that's a bad thing? Get that lazy ass out of the house.
No doubt, man. No doubt.
And that's the news, John.
No doubt.
That is the news.
No doubt. All right, Phil. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
The Macrotics?
Yeah, that's funny. So funny. Did you see me laughing, you cocksucker?
Wow. He was mad.
Very upset.
Very
he'll
upset.
Come back?
I think one of the reasons he's so upset is because your wife and kids aren't here.
What is that supposed to mean? Well, what is that supposed to mean?
He can...
What is that?
he can express his true feelings.
Oh, I see.
Where he usually he censors
himself.
Why
would that make him madder?
It wouldn't make him madder, but he can I think it's good though, you know, because he can get it out.
Let it out.
Right.
And of course, I'm going to get a call from the neighbors.
End up with a bullet or a gun barrel in his mouth, you know, or an OD like a Heath Ledger.
Right.
You know.
Right.
An
right.
accidental OD. Yeah, right.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
I don't know what you mean.
What do you mean? I don't know what that means. What's
what
that
do you mean?
Mean,
man? So that's 138, John. We got some bad news. Bad news
What's
is
that?
I won't be able to do it next Sunday, so we're going to have to
what?
Skip another weekend.
Come
I'll be on.
On
the road. I'm coming back on Monday. I may be able to do a Monday night, but it's unlikely.
So you're going to meet you're going to miss Meat Fest?
I'm going to miss Meat Fest. Can you believe that shit?
Oh.
Meat Fest, annual event at Rick's house. People bring meat and barbecues.
Yeah.
You're one of the barbecue bringers.
Yeah.
Right?
I bring like a 5-footer.
And just meat is grilled all day, all night.
Oh, yeah. Just
it's,
meat.
The kids love it. Adults love it. There's alcohol. There's meat.
There's going to be a moon bounce.
There, he even changed the rules where potential meat is being served.
Conspiracy to become meat.
So like eggs.
Eggs.
Can be served.
Deviled eggs.
Yeah, and I'm going to miss that. Do you know, and I just found out we were going to have my son stay with the in-laws.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the decision was made, of course, not by me because I don't wear the pants in the family.
Right.
The decision was made to take our son with.
Ah.
So I was thinking, okay.
Why don't you have him stay with...
the Beccarat?
You think they'd be able to take care of him?
Don't they live across the street? You remember them. Mr. and Mrs.
The Beccaratics?
Mr. and Mrs. Beccaratic?
So, I don't know if you know this, John, but I'm going to school. Actually, I just came from class, and I was hoping to get homework done. I was hoping to catch up on some reading.
So you're here because you have no class?
And because my son's coming, that goes all out the window. I mean, he's when he's there and awake, he's you need 100% focus on...
Because he's at that age,
right,
man.
Where he could burn the place down if you didn't watch him, you know?
Right.
So that's...
he's the perfect boy.
But my wife had a logical reason. Because if he were to stay at my in-laws, it would be for about 6 days plus the weekend. And they would never help us out again, ever, after that. So, all right, I'll bite the bullet. Let's do it. Let's bring him with.
Yeah.
It's going to be a goddamn nightmare. I know it.
Well, I'll see if you could have him sleep over a night at the...
The Beccarat.
All right, that's all we got for this week. I'm John.
And I'm Scott, and we're going to miss next week.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, maybe we'll try to make that up during
the
week.
We got a gig, too.
All right, August. Friday. Yeah, let's announce that.
August 1st.
Week from Friday, August 1st, Party in the Park
party
at Arlington
park.
Heights Racetrack. Arlington Heights? No. Arlington park Racetrack.
Right.
So we play between races. First race is at 2. And we
Three.
It's the greatest gig ever.
Isn't it? Or is it 2?
I think it's 2.
We'll get there early, get a spot. Right,
so there's like
the
30 minutes off. When they're getting the horses ready, they race and they get the horses off.
Yeah.
Then we play for 20
they
minutes.
Get the horses off. And then
we play for 20 minutes. Then we get another 30-minute break, and we do that for 7 races or 9 races.
And we have an opening band, too, don't we, this time?
We do?
Yeah, they're
Is
called
the...
The Beccarat.
And it's a great gig because we get to pull our vans and cars right up to the stage.
So you're going to say pull our puds.
So there's no stairs. There's no...
No.
We just throw the stuff on
hot.
Stage and then set it up. Yeah, it is
it's
hot.
It's just so goddamn hot.
But the stage is to the left of the grandstand if you're facing the track.
Right.
So we'll be there. It's a lot of fucking fun. It's a great time for us.
Yeah. A lot of Red Bull and vodka.
We get very well paid.
Yeah.
Very well paid. And then afterwards, we take some of the money that we earned. We go buy a stack of like 12 pizzas.
Yeah.
And we go back to Rick's house, who lives right across the street.
Right.
And we have an after hours, you know, for the fans. A special thank you to the fans.
I have pizza. Rick has pizza. But you're sometimes,
I'm eating licorice.
You have licorice.
Yeah, sometimes I have licorice. Yeah. I can't have pizza anymore.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, we got a Barnaby's thin crust. Yeah. And what I do, because I'm gluten intolerant, I just take a fork and I just take
the
cheese and sausage and I leave the crust.
Bread.
The crust. Bread. Yeah.
Nice.
And I eat that.
Nice.
Right on.
All right, that's all we have. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is Total Talk Nonsense. We'll see you whenever, I guess.
As soon as we can.
As soon as
we don't know when that'll be.
Yeah.
At a minimum in 2 weeks.
Right. Right.
Right on, John.
All right. Later.
Later.
The Becker Addicts.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.